Hey everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs.
Welcome everybody to Dog Training 360, an online dog training platform, and Rebecca and I are going to be talking about going back to the basics. It's one of the hardest things to do when we feel like our dogs, we've trained them really well, and we feel like they know it, and then it all falls apart. And I think that we don't understand and don't realize our dogs learn things very quickly, very, very quickly. But it doesn't mean that it is a conditioned response in all situations with all people in all new things to them. I mean, moving can change their world. People moving out of the house can change the picture. And we forget that we have to build duration. We have to have repetition. We have to be consistent. And we have to remember that when situations change, it doesn't mean the same to a dog. Over and over, I have people say, well, they knew it last week. And how long have you been working on it? A week. You got to go back to the basics and start over and do it again. And go back to the basics and start over and do it again. Rebecca, being on the road, you've been traveling across the United States and with the two dogs. Are there things that you have found that you have to kind of go back to the basics a little bit with them just because it's, you know, different things and different routines and different environments?
Yeah. Honestly, there are many things. I would say loose leash walking is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my dogs, Oxford Border Terrier and Mocha German Shepherd, are definitely leash trained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've gone through a lot of training.
Yeah. Yeah.
On being on the leash.
Yep.
And they can both be exceptional at it. And when we go, you know, anyone that's listened to this podcast over time knows that I was in Costa Rica with my family and with both dogs for 2 years, and we had very few leash times.
Yeah.
In Costa Rica, certainly going to restaurants and things like that, they were definitely always on a leash, but they had a ton of off-leash time every single day.
Yeah.
At the beach, in the woods, you know, even going up and down our road was off-leash time for them in that setting. And then coming back to the United States, the situation has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sure you can imagine, anyone listening, you know, we're in a neighborhood now, there are leash laws, it's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
And so the dogs are on leash. And now, you know, throw that, you know, take that piece. And then on top of that, we're on a cross-country road trip. And so between every day to every, you know, week, we're in a new location, in a new Airbnb,
mm-hmm.
in a new neighborhood, in a new city.
Yeah.
And it's all wonderful and the dogs are having a great time, but each of those places is completely new for them.
Yeah.
And so even coming back here to Utah, where they both have spent a long time of their lives, it's new. And
yeah.
We're in a different neighborhood.
Yep.
Never lived in this neighborhood in Utah.
Yeah.
And so going back to the basics with our walking in the neighborhood, we do have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
With exactly the way we describe in our videos. If you've taken our courses. I think the thing that I think about with the tools that I know with leash walking as an example apply to all training,
it
which
does.
Is it's the basics are a tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, my dogs are trained and on the spectrum of trained dogs, they're very well trained.
Yeah.
Not for the obedience ring necessarily, but they know all the things.
Yeah, they do.
And even with that, it doesn't mean that I can take them into a totally new environment and have, you know, the sit right away, yep. I still have to go back to the basics. But I don't think of that as a problem. I think of it as a good thing, because what I know is that my dog knows the basics.
Yeah.
So it's a tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You're just reminding them.
Right.
Oh, this is how we do that here too.
Right. So I don't have to, I guess the point is I don't have to retrain the basics,
no.
right?
No. Yeah.
For example, with sit,
uh-huh.
one of the ways we teach it, there's several different ways. If you watch our videos, we yeah. have a whole bunch of different ways to teach sit. But one of the ways that's in the advanced, as the dog learns the command sit, to give some pressure up on the leash
mm-hmm.
to signal that they're supposed to go into a sit.
Yeah.
And that's an example of something that's very clear, right? Just a short little thing. You sit, and if you don't sit, pressure up on the leash,
mm-hmm.
and the dog sits.
Yeah.
In a new environment, you know, mm-hmm. there's new cats and new birds and new,
yeah.
you know, smells. Maybe if I say the word sit, even though I am 100% confident Mocha knows the word sit.
Yep.
She is so distracted. So I can just give that tiny little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
She knows that. She
yeah.
knows that the pressure up on the leash means to sit.
Yep.
And so that's the tool I have. That's how I think
yeah.
of it, going
yeah.
back to the basics, is that these are tools that I've taught my dog that I can rely on
right.
when the picture changes.
Yeah. And I think that that's an important thing, is these tools that we have, you know, we don't just use a screwdriver once and then put it away and never use it again. Like, it's a tool that when you have another screw that you need to tighten or to build something, you have a screwdriver. And it's the same concept. It's, well, they're so distracted with the chickens visually and smell that sit, it's not, they're not ignoring you. It's just, they didn't hear you.
Right.
No matter what we want to say, when those other senses are working, the ears are off. And so if I can give a little bit of pressure on the leash, sit. You know, it's just one more way of communicating. So that tool to use, you have to go back to the basics. That's going back to the basics. We're not reteaching the behavior. We're revisiting the tools to get the behaviors that we're asking our dog to do. And, you know, dogs that come from, you know, say, let's just, you know, the cities, you know, New York, let's say, and they come out west to this open country, your dog may have had a good recall in the dog parks of New York, but it doesn't mean they're going to have a great recall in the open country of wildlife and all the other things. So you got to go back to the basics of what you taught in the new environment and the new smells and the new stimulation with them, using the same tools that you used when you taught living in New York. So it's hard for people to accept that you have to go back and sometimes start over. Sometimes you do have to reteach it because you haven't visited it or needed that behavior where you lived. Caroline and leash walking it's every time. Like, I have to reteach it every time. And then she's like, oh, right. Like, remember this now, because she's just not on a leash. You know, even when I take her into the city and we get out of the truck and go into the groomers, like, I don't put a leash on her. And so there's been times that I've needed to have, like, really needed to have a leash on her. And I have to really go back and reteach it because I haven't visited it or done it with her at all in a year. And, you know, same with my border collies, when, you know, life's been really kind of chaotic for me and I haven't been able to get them out to herd any cows or anything. And when I took, like, they know their directions. It was not happening when I took, a year later, we're on cows and, you know, they were just having a great time. I have to go back to the round pen and I need to reteach and revisit that. They pick it up fast. It's not like you're a week of teaching this step and a week of teaching that step. You just have to go back to the tools to teach it, to put the steps in there, and they'll pick it up. Oh, right. If they don't pick it up, you didn't teach it. And that's something to really think about, is just because you did it for a week doesn't mean that they know it, because you have to transfer it in different locations. You have to transfer it with different people. And if you don't, you can't say that your dog knows it. My dog knows sit. Do they know sit, or do they know the behavior of sit in this environment with this purpose? And so when the next person comes into your home that they've never met, do they know sit, or are they just doing the behavior and they haven't had to do that behavior with that person? So I'm not going to sit. So it's really kind of a deep concept to think about, is the environment that they're in is part of the learning experience. And if they didn't learn it in that experience, or you keep doing the same thing over and over in the same place with the same person and you change, it doesn't mean they know it. So I think it's important to really think about, dog training is a lifetime of teaching, because your life changes, things evolve, kids leave the house, grandparents move in, you know, whatever that is, we move out of the country. And, you know, there's so many elements to life that we don't really give our dogs enough acknowledgement that maybe we failed you here and we need to revisit it. People just get frustrated because they don't do it. And
yeah, I think it's difficult for the non-dog trainer, and I'll put myself in that category, differentiating myself and probably most of our listeners from someone like you, Joe. Like, you've seen every type of dog in every, I mean, you've seen thousands of dogs over your career.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of dogs, but not near that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really easy for us on the non-dog trainer end of the spectrum to say, like, I want my dog trained, or have a picture in our head of a trained dog. Mm-hmm. That's in quotes, a trained dog.
Yeah.
And in my head, that picture is, say, of a service dog, or, you know, a police dog, or if you think of, or maybe even a dog in an obedience ring, where it seems like from watching the television or the service dog out on the street that this dog is trained.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that's what I want my dogs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think integrating this conversation into that picture, I think there's two things. One, I have a question for you, Joe, in a second, but what you said about training being lifelong, I really want to emphasize, is that I really believe my dogs are very well trained. But that what that means to me is that in every new experience, I have to show them what I want, explain to them what I want. And I'll give you a quick example. I lived with my elderly mother lived with us for quite a while, 2 years before she died, and the dogs were with her, and they were really good at knowing to be gentle. Even my German Shepherd, who can be a bit boisterous, she knew she was not to jump on my mother.
Yeah.
And now we're in Tennessee with my wife's parents, who are also a bit older, and the dogs should also be gentle with them. And my dogs know the term gentle, and they know what that means. But there's no way I'm going to have Mocha go up to them on the first meeting off leash, say out in the yard.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't understand. Even if I say be gentle, I can't expect her to understand. We're not in Costa Rica anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This person is not
different person.
My mother. It's a different mother who might have some of the same characteristics from my vision. You know, she's also above 70.
Yeah.
But to the dog, that's a totally different picture. And so I can't expect Mocha to know to treat this other mother the same as she treated my mother.
Yep.
So that I think is an important way that I think of training, which is I have trained dogs, but I need to set them up for mm-hmm. success and
yes.
explain to them in every new situation what the expectations are.
Yeah.
And that may be going back on a leash around elderly people, even right. though I know she knows how to treat elderly people, but yeah. she needs to understand that this elderly person is the same as that elderly person.
Right, right.
So my question for you then, Joe, is how I know that you've worked with some of these dogs that in my mind anyway are the picture of perfection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What does their life look like? So, I mean, I guess part of my question is how much I imagine their like training is in just incredibly rigorous.
Yeah.
And then similarly, okay, so you have a service dog who is the picture of perfection in the store.
Mm-hmm.
What happens maybe when we bring that dog to the ranch without yeah. their person that they're a service dog for? How does that, maybe they are perfect in that situation, or maybe, you know, maybe talk about that.
Yeah, so that's really good, Rebecca, really good, because I have been a trainer for a service dog organization that trains service dogs for people, and I would have to go out every year and recertify their service dogs. And then also I have trained service dogs for people that are doing their own training and doing all of that piece. So here's the picture that we don't necessarily see or know and what that looks like. One, many, 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 many of the dogs that go into the service dog world that are part of organizations that train service dogs for people, many, many, many get career changed. Not every dog that goes into the guide dogs for the blind make it. They are recareered into other service dog companies, you know, organizations, or they are returned back to their puppy raisers or that option, that direction into a career change, they call it. So one, they really have to have that work ethic, that drive and that ability and that, I mean, there's so much. And so what we don't know is that many dogs are career changed through that. There's a very small amount of dogs. It's getting better because they're starting their own breeding program and they're not pulling in just random dogs like they used to. It's better because they're breeding for those traits, but dogs are still career changed all the time.
So it's a certain temperament, mm-hmm. work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, a whole slew of things yeah. that go into the dogs that actually make it into
yes.
these careers.
Yeah.
Of being a true service dog.
Yes.
And just to be clear for the listeners, we're not talking about emotional support dogs.
No.
Or we're talking about, yeah, guide dogs for mm-hmm. the blind.
Yeah.
Those dogs that are truly
trained,
certified
yeah.
and working.
Yes. Yes. The to the next level is these dogs that are career changed. They've been trained all the way through the program, but I can't put this dog with a person to have it think on its own. It can do all the tasks, but it doesn't have that like last thing that they need. So they go through they go through their puppy raisers. They're very specific. The puppies are on leash. They have a very specific program on what the puppy raisers have to accomplish. And then they go into the program. So they're very, very well trained going into it and through the program. And they get career changed into being a pet dog. They're a nightmare. Nightmare. The people have to retrain them because they're no longer in the working mindset. I don't have a job anymore. So, woohoo, many are very difficult to train because they just blow it all off. And you're starting all over, which people get frustrated with because, well, let's just adopt a dog that's had a career change because it's already trained. It's not the same. You've got to go back into training and to do that. So there's a really misconception piece there. Now the dog is placed into a home with a person with a disability. That dog is only allowed certain times based on the program to be off leash and disconnected from the person. So they're on leash and working. They're on leash and laying by the wheelchair. Their bedtime, the dog is laying by the bed. There's usually with the program that I worked for, they got to go and play fetch with the dogs once a day. But other than that, that's it. It was very on leash. And what do you hear from me over and over and over and over and over and over in so many things? Keep your dog on a leash. You'll be surprised at how easy it is to train them when you can act and do and have the expectations right there all the time. So these dogs are really attached and connected to their owners. They don't get that free time. And then jumping into the people that train their own service dogs, it's challenging because our emotional state gets in the way. And, you know, for example, my dad and I trained a service dog for him and then, you know, gave it to him and he was very structured with it and it was very good. And then he got his own dog and he got very frustrated with it. And it, you know, and then he, you know, it just didn't matter. You know, the dog's in the house. It's not, there's no specific with it. So then when he would take him out in public, he would get a little frustrated with him because he's supposed to know all of this because I've trained it. But it's harder when we're the person with the disability trying to train the dog as well. And I see that over and over. I was just with some friends at a restaurant having brunch and this, you know, gal walked in with her service dog and it jumped up and took food off the table, you know, and maybe it gets away with that at home, but we forget that there's a level of expectation that that dog needed to learn and be trained in different environments to learn how to be. So our personal dogs that we have trained to be service dogs are still not to the level of what we maybe perceive as the trained dog of a working dog or a police dog or whatnot. So it's, the training is always happening. I have had to go into homes to recertify a dog for this company and pull the dog because the person has not reinforced what the dog was supposed to be doing and it became a pet. And that's not what this organization is about. And they have to sign the paperwork that we are training this dog for this. This is the expectation. This is what needs to be done. And I've had to pull dogs and put them back into the program from these people, unfortunately, because there's an expectation that they have. If a service dog is trained by a certain company, the company still owns the dog, but they also want to be represented correctly for other people to see, to get a dog from them. So it's a long journey. And the training never stops, even for the people that own service dogs that they've gotten from organizations. There's expectations that they have to keep up as well. They have to continue the training. They have to continue asking the dog to do things so that the dog stays on point with what they need to do.
So I think it's great to talk about all this.
Yeah.
Because the point of this whole podcast is going back to the basics.
Uh-huh.
And so I think what I'm taking away from this conversation is not only do I think in my little household of having my dogs of every day being reinforcing training, and mm-hmm. if I need to go back to the basics, I do just because the environment has changed.
Yeah.
But that is actually the same no matter what. So we see yeah. these dogs who are in movies or dogs mm-hmm. who are working yeah. as police dogs or service dogs or even in the obedience ring, these dogs are constantly being trained.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that you, as a listener who have a pet dog at home, in order to have a trained dog, needs to mm-hmm. train 24 hours a day or 12 right. hours a day like a right. service dog might, because mm-hmm. you're not wanting a working dog.
Yeah.
But I think the point of this is to give yourself, you know, grace or a pass or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it is normal and expected and just part of having a dog that even if you train to the highest level,
mm-hmm.
you still have to reinforce and yeah. help your dog to understand that the training, that what the expectations are,
yeah.
I guess,
yeah.
in different environments.
Yeah. And I think another good example is I had the opportunity to talk to a movie set trainer. And he has, oh my gosh, I think he has 30 or so dogs because they call him for a dog for this. So he has to have, you know, we got to have a dog that can, you know, be on Frasier, but also need a dog that needs to play basketball, you know. So he's got all these breeds and all these dogs, and they free roam with him. It was quite a chaotic situation, but everything that he's doing, he's thinking about a movie set and what does, like, can you get up on an office chair that spins around? Can you, like, so he's constantly asking these dogs to act, if you will, to keep them fresh. So when he gets that call, he knows that he's got a border terrier that can, you know, go get the mail, if you will, you know. But if he doesn't practice those things as if they're in the movies, then you don't have a lot of time to train that. There's little things that you'll have to finesse for the movie, but the main things, like, he's got to have it, and he's watching the culture and what breeds are next that people want to see or what's happening. And so, you know, he's getting in training and having this, and then as the ones retire, you know, they just hang out and, you know, but they're still acting. He says they're always wanting to perform something, you know, and it's a very animated situation for him, but he is one of the top people that supplies the dogs for the movies. And so it was fun to listen to him, that he's always asking them to perform. And I think that we should do the same in a lot of ways, that today our scene is the office and we're going to be on the bed and we're performing that, you know, and let's reinforce it and let's ask for that. And, you know, next year we may be chasing sheep, you know. So I think that it's kind of a fun way to look at it, that challenge your dogs. Can you lay down, but can you get up on a box and lay down, you know, to keep the training fun and to keep it alive. But you still got to go back to the basics, because we never taught them to lay down on a box. And that was one of the things that I took away from him when I, you know, talked with him, is they know everything, but do they know to get in a crib? Or do they know that, you know, they need to go out this door and do something on the porch? You know, so it really made me think about, just in general training, that it gets boring. And then we stop training because, well, we've already done that and they do it for the most part. But what can we do to challenge their minds and to continue to have fun and to, you know, air quotes, to perform?
Yeah.
We go back to the basics. And I think that's the fun thing, if you can get creative with it and think about a movie set of what can you get your dog to do. And I mean, I have had a couple of people, their dogs have been in the theater here locally in Utah, because they would call me and, oh yeah, I know a dog that actually can do that, and here's the breed, and have introduced them and done them, and they've been in place, you know. And that's just because the owners have kept up and had fun with their dogs, and they do different things with them. And their dogs have had these fun opportunities, being an Annie and being, you know, so, and dogs that you would not suspect, like the owners, would have to work extra hard to get, right? We have to train to the set, but their dog met all the criterias and was able to do the basics in random places. So they were able to transfer it to the stage. So, I think going back to the basics can be a fun journey if we look at it from a movie set, maybe.
Yeah.
As you go through your training and think about going back to the basics, I think this is a great place to just tell you that we have an online dog training platform. It's worldwide. You can get on and train at your own pace. Get on and learn new things. There's a lot of programs, a lot of courses within the courses to help you through it, to go back to the basics, maybe look at things from a different perspective. And our training is really all through the eyes of the dog and how they see things. And it's a really fun journey and course of our platform that we have on dogtraining360.com. And it's just a way to keep you training and really going back to the basics all the time.
And just to add a little here, where it is an online platform, but it's very personal. Yeah. It's not like you get online and you do something independently. We're a part of it. We answer questions. We have private forums for the members and for the people taking the classes where you can get in and have conversation and ask and email and message us on the forum. And we're very involved. So from my standpoint, as someone who's lived all over the place and continues to travel, it's a way of accessing this great training program.
Yeah.
If you don't live right here in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very interactive, different than any other learning platform and courses. And, you know, even some of the horse platforms that I'm on, you're not active with the trainer. You don't really have a lot of, unless you sign up for other clinics or whatnot. But, you know, for me, this was really important that you get access to us and you're able to, you know, ask us questions and we get on and have discussions as well. So, you know, as we're sitting here with this podcast and you're listening to us, you know, you can join and get on, you know, the live webinars that we have weekly. And it's very live and interactive. So join us. We'd love to have you a part of it.